joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, the Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go.
Commuter size.
Just for your convenience.
Fits right in your commute.
If it doesn't fit in your commute, you need a bigger commute. That's just the way it goes.
That's right. Or shorter commute, depending on which way it goes in.
Hey, don't make fun of them for a short commute, man.
No, it's not the size of the commute. It's the quality of the commute. And we're hoping to increase the quality of that commute.
With this show.
That's right. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And we're coming to you tonight from Starbucks, which is, I know, kind of weird. But hey, we just wanted to try this new microphone out, really, is pretty much what it's boiling down to.
We wanted to see if we could do podcasts on the go.
And so we can do them from conventions.
And I'm pretty excited about us doing a podcast at Enchanted Grounds Coffee House,
I'm looking forward to that, too.
Super geeky place of games and coffee.
Today we're going to talk about RPGs, role-playing games.
And not rocket-propelled grenades.
We're not going to talk about rocket. Well, we might talk
about
those.
You can have rocket-propelled grenades in an RPG.
Yeah, you can. And then it's an RPG. Mm-hmm. Or you could just say RPG squared. So the first thing that we're going to talk about, I think, is
what is an RPG?
Yeah, what is an RPG?
Besides a rocket-propelled grenade, which
exactly.
Is not what we're talking about. We're referring to role-playing games, specifically the kind that you would buy from a gaming store and sit around a table and play.
Yeah. What is a role-playing game? I mean, effectively, everybody always says, it's satanic. Is it satanic?
It could be if you wanted it to be, but that is not the general purpose of it, and it's rare.
Is it a general purpose satanic thing?
General purpose. I don't know. I don't think so. Well, it's essentially everyone that's playing the game except for one person who is telling the story is playing a character in that story. They are assuming a role, and they're playing in it in a game format, so role-playing game. So you're not playing yourself. You're playing a character, and you have input into what your character does in the setting of that story.
Right. I sort of envision it as sort of a groupthink storyteller.
Group storytelling with a referee.
Right. So somebody who kind of guides the story along.
Yes.
And that referee would be called a game master or a dungeon master.
Or a storyteller, in fact, I think is what White Wolf calls them.
So right.
They just get right to it. Storyteller.
It's a storyteller. And it really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard an awful lot of, is it satanic?
Especially back in the 80s.
Yeah,
when it first came out, it seemed a big
smear campaign
taboo of it.
People really took objection to fact that it was dungeon or it was dragons and dungeons
spell casting and demons and such. And
yeah. So I think they took objection to that. So there's another good question: is role playing games only dungeons and dragons?
Or? Yeah, it's amazing the gambit that role playing games run of all the genres.
Yep.
In fact, I was just talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they were going to run a game where everybody plays cats. That are magical cats, much like the type of cat that'd be like Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service, or they're cats that don't necessarily have a lot of power, and it's just an interesting idea that everybody's going to be playing a cat in the story.
That is interesting.
But you could play a futuristic Mad Max style apocalyptic role playing games.
Post-apocalyptic.
You could have the classic Dungeons & Dragons, which is fantasy, and fantasy could even be more historical, accurate fantasy without the magic.
Yeah, good. So
it runs all over the place. Superhero games, and that's popular now because of all the superhero movies.
Genres.
Your favorite, science fiction.
Science fiction, yes.
And Star Trek. So you could.
We, in fact, played a Star Trek RPG.
Yes, with you running it.
Yes, with me being the GM.
So they run all over the place for what they are. And it kind of comes into what's the pros and cons of a role-playing game then?
Yeah, what is the pros and cons of a role-playing game?
Well, I suppose one of the cons is those people that look at it like it's satanic. you got to get past that aspect
of it. We would like to say at this time that it is not satanic.
From everything I've seen, it's not. I imagine with so many out there, there's probably a few now that are specifically like that. But that's neither here nor there for what we're looking at. It's what you make it.
Yeah, it is exactly what you make of it. You can make it just as satanic as being at a coffee shop we are right now.
You can make it as biblical as you wanted to, because I could even see church groups running it and setting up scenarios to reinforce whatever morals they wanted to bring about through their
religion.
The The biggest con to me would be the money involved, which isn't that much, really, depending on what you get involved in, because you're only buying a few books.
Yeah, it is actually, of all the things, now that we've just spent a whole lot of money on a whole bunch of little spaceships for our attack wing, I have to say that it is actually relatively cheap to role-play.
He says we, but he means himself.
Yeah, I say we because I actually made Kevin buy a whole bunch of spaceships, which is really what happened.
Our engineer, Kevin,
because, you know, it's a long story.
We're going to skip it.
I held a gun to him. I think even in the aspect of it's expensive, it really isn't, relatively speaking.
And Pathfinder, and I'm totally forgetting the name of the company that does it, every book they make is actually available for free from their website in PDF form. So they don't. If you wanted to play it, you could play it for free. They go off of the quality of the product because it's like, well, if you like our product, please buy a hard copy of it. And they make enough money at it that it works for them.
It works fine. So they've got kind of an open source model going for it, which is kind of cool.
Yes. So the con aspect of it isn't really that big of a deal. You have the problem of maybe running into people that your personality clashes with.
Yeah.
People that you're not going to like, but you have that problem in life anyway.
Yeah. Well, I know. I clash with everybody. Right. Especially you.
And the band, The Clash.
And the band, The Clash. I've never been able to get along with them.
And those Titans.
Ooh, Titans.
Clash with them all the time. What cons do you think of for role-playing games?
The only thing I can think of is time. It's very time-consuming.
Especially if you're running the game, because a lot of responsibility falls on you.
There's a lot of responsibility if you're the storyteller. I mean, if that's your job, then yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff you've got to do.
You don't have to do. You could tell a...
You could just wing it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to be good at winging it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you're rolling this... And I'm actually discovering in my life that I like to wing the games, but I'm not as good at winging them. But I like that, so it's kind of complicated and difficult. That's one of the cons. I think that that's pretty much the only ones
I can
think of.
There's not a lot of bad stuff involved in it. It could be, like anything, it could become an obsession and people might spend way more time on it than they should, but that could happen with anything.
Sure. Well, what are the pros?
Well, lots of pros, in my opinion.
Mine too.
The basic scholastic pros, because you're encouraging people to read.
Right.
Reading comprehension. They're doing math. They're figuring out statistics, because a lot of these role-playing games use dice.
Because
there's a factor of chance, and the way you represent that chance in the game is you use statistics of dice.
Right.
So if you're really good at something, you roll the dice, more the numbers that come up, you're successful, less of them than not. If you suck at a sword or something, then you need a smaller amount of the numbers. So it teaches you statistics, and the word I was looking for was risk analysis.
And risk analysis.
It also really stretches and exercises the imagination, because it's storytelling, so you have to imagine things as they happen.
Yeah, I think also I like the social element.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's when I remember I found pictures of my grandparents playing poker, and they played bridge and poker all the time. As we kind of went around, it's gonna make a lot of noise. They would play poker and bridge, and I think that one of the things I thought was interesting was they were doing it just to be with their buddies, and that's sort of the same thing I find with role playing games. We're really getting together to be creative and be buddies with each other in the same manner that they were playing poker and bridge.
Right. It's an act of storytelling. It's not just sitting and watching a TV show or reading someone else's book, because you're actually taking part in the way that story turns out.
Right. It's not passive.
Right.
It's not passive. It's very active. And it's creative and it's creativity. Of course, I like to draw my characters every time, which have evolved quite a bit. Sometime we'll have to do a show about my evolution of characters, because I've got a lot of them. It's kind of funny.
Right, and it would have to be not podcast, because obviously, look, here's another picture of guys.
So, here's another picture, and here's another one, and here's another one. Now, this is my favorite one.
Oops, I spilled coffee on it.
Damn it. Aww.
But tons of pros. If you've never heard of role-playing games before, I definitely recommend to look into it, because if you like telling stories and hanging out with friends, a good thing to do.
So what's with all the books? We'll talk about those in just a second.
We will. So we're going to take a short station identification break, I believe.
Yes. You're watching Geek Tank with your ears. So we're back. We're talking about role-playing games. And we were talking about pros and cons earlier. And now we're kind of talking a little bit about
our favorite system.
Our favorite system.
And it's, this is kind of, we're going to talk about systems in general, and then I think we're going to talk about our favorite. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
And
so what's, I mean, I know
Well, my very first system. The very first system that I ever played in, I was roughly 10 years old, and it was Traveler, of all things. It's kind of a variation of Traveler. My brother ran the game. I had no idea what I was doing because I was 10, and my brother 19, and his peers 18, 19 in that range. So they let me play a 10-year-old character in the game that had force powers, and this is long before Episode 1. So it was kind of an interesting thing where they'd come stumbled across this kid who had extremely powerful magic ability, the Force, pretty much.
Sure.
And they didn't know what to do with him, and of course all these other people are after him, so they had to protect him. And I was a 10-year-old, so I did a really good job of role-playing a 10-year-old.
Right. There you go.
I was typecast.
You were typecast. So just for the record, Traveler was created in 1977 and by Game Designers Workshop, which then later got purchased by GURP, Steve Jackson's game. So you kind of grandfathered into your current system.
I did.
In very much the similar way, because I know that you play currently, play GURPS.
I do. Now, interesting thing about Traveler is during character creation, you can actually die before your character is completed.
Nice.
So
that's kind of funny.
The only game system I know of that does that. So
you just die in.
Yeah, you're rolling on the random creation chart, and at one point, if you end up in the military at a boot camp, you have to roll for how that turned out, and I think it's like on a 6, you die.
Yeah.
You die during boot camp. So
you have to make your brother.
Yeah, I got
just so you could say, well, my brother died in boot camp.
I got to skip that system, luckily.
Yeah.
So let's
talk about the current one that's your favorite, which is GURPS.
GURPS.
Generic Universal Role-Playing System, or
yes,
GURPS.
Yes, you love
Steve
that
Jackson's
name.
Games.
It's and it was meant originally to just be a one-book system that you could use for any genre, any game that you wanted to run. And it's kind of grown into a monster because I don't even know how many books are out there now, but I'm going to guess between 50 and 100 different books for it.
And what it is because, I mean, it's not like they have all these rule books for, you know, the same rules, so you have to know all 100 books to play the game.
Right. It's for the different genres and some specific genres. So if you want to do an Old West game, they have books specifically for the Old West to help you define that. Superhero game, space game, all those different categories.
In fact, our Star Trek game was actually a GURPS game because there's a book called Prime Directive, which is by Amarillo Design Bureau and Steve Jackson Games. And Amarillo Design Bureau did Starfleet Battles, which is a tabletop game that I love to play a lot of.
And it's I prefer a watered-down version of GURPS because if you follow it by every rule, it can get really cumbersome. So I prefer to focus more on storytelling and just bring in just some of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, and your favorite, I think, was ICE?
Yeah, ICE, the Iron Crown Enterprises system. And really, even now, I still like it. It was a little cumbersome. It was kind of clunky. But it was a lot of fun to play when you were doing the system because of all the tables. They had all these critical tables. You know, when you get hurt in a fight or whatever, it would tell you exactly what you did by rolling these dice. It was great, you know. So it wasn't just you took 12 points of damage, which doesn't tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it said, you know, your left arm was struck and you're bleeding and you need to get to a doctor right away. And it kind of helped a lot. So that I like that one a lot. I still do like all the tables, but the pros and the cons of that one are exactly the same. The pros are the tables. The cons are the tables. Some people really hated the fact that you had to go through table after table after table. Some of us loved it.
Right. It's really what you're into, and I think that's a big part with whatever role-playing game you choose. You have to kind of fill out the group first and find out what do they like. Do they like having all these different rules that they get to min-max, which is short for minimum effort, maximum output?
Yeah.
I think I messed that up, but it's something like that.
It means minimum pizza and maximum gum.
Actually, minimum cost for maximum pizza.
Minimum cost for maximum pizza. That ends up being sort of Little Caesars, I think.
Probably so.
Yeah.
But it's if you're into that kind of thing, there's definitely games that better fit that than other ones.
Sure.
GURPS could even fall into that category.
Yeah.
Pathfinder and Dungeons & Dragons fall into that category too, I would say, because you have to really plot out your character's progression ahead of time.
Sure.
If you prefer more of the storytelling, well, we just, from She's a Super Geek, they have the Lasers and Feelings.
Yeah, Lasers and Feelings.
And that's...
That was one page.
And that's very much about the storytelling and not about the rules.
Rules, right. There wasn't really a lot of rules to min-max there. Mm-hmm. It was just really straightforward. I actually really enjoyed that game. It was great enough that my five-year-old was playing it.
Yeah, and there's no way your five-year-old could play Pathfinder.
Yeah, Pathfinder is way too many rules for my five-year-old to even begin to comprehend. So that kind of is a cool, that's kind of a cool thing. I mean, that's, I don't know, I mean, that's sort of where we're at. By the way, Iron Crown Enterprises was created a long time ago, but it closed on me.
Nice.
I was looking
just for
at
those
the
of you, for those of you listening, it was a lot more entertaining for me from this side of the mic, because Guy was just about to read from his Surface Pro, and it decided to switch screens on him.
Actually, it decided to close my browser completely.
Yes. Yeah, so
go look up Iron Crown Enterprises on
and
Wikipedia.
You'll see exactly what Guy was
going to
say.
And you'll know exactly what I was going to mention. Clearly, I wasn't supposed to say
that'll
it.
Teach you for trying to be prepared.
I know. Try to be prepared. It's just going to close on you anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing. So let's talk a little bit about maybe the history maybe of role-playing.
I was peeking up something here, and it's something I thought was interesting.
I think it's interesting that this page has some issues.
It does.
It means that it's neurotic.
Well, it's talking about in the early days back in Dungeons & Dragons, one of the problems people had with comprehending role-playing games is, unlike other games, it's not competitive.
Right.
Baseball or playing cards, you have a clear, I'm competing against you to win, or my team's trying to win against your team. And role-playing games aren't about that. It's about completing a part of a story. You have a group of characters, and they are giving a conflict, just like good storytelling tells you.
Right.
They have to get through the conflict, and how their characters evolve through that conflict and that journey is what makes a good story. And most role-playing games end up giving people fake war stories to tell people that they're really proud of.
Yeah. Well, so. And that's one of the things that, I mean, that's kind of like one of the jokes. You know, well, we were playing a role-playing game tonight. Oh, really? Did you win?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of one of the old jokes, the old adage jokes that we used to tell. That is an interesting thing. So how long has role-playing games been around? How long have they been around? Since you had the page that has issues up.
Yeah.
It has issues. Well, it's too neurotic to actually talk to us.
I'm pretty sure there was a game before Dungeons & Dragons, and I was trying to find that, and I could not find the name of that there. But the rule says that there was a war game that was combined with a fantasy set of rules back in the 1970s to give rise to the modern role-playing game. And so it's around 1970s, and I want to say there was a game called Crowns and Kings, but I'm not sure about the title of that. And then, as I'm pretty sure there was something that was a precursor to Dungeons & Dragons.
It's interesting that it seems like role-playing games did spawn straight out of high fantasy.
Yeah. And it's,
excuse me.
One thing that it was talking about, too, on the whole little Wikipedia thingy, was about how back in the days of stage plays, you had comedy dell'arte, which was improvisational storytelling.
Yeah.
And it's 19th century, early 20th century.
16th century Europe.
I'm sorry, 16th century Europe. The performed form of improvisational theater known as comedy dell'arte with stock situations, stock characters, and improvised dialogue. So you can kind of look at role-playing as improvisation because you don't have a script for what you're saying for your character.
Right.
You just know, this is how my character thinks. He's in this situation. What choices would this character make?
Which is, that's interesting. I mean, so it really kind of goes all the way back to the 16th century.
Yeah.
So really, we're playing games in much the same era as which it actually started in.
Yeah.
Which
I think part of that, too, is good role players versus bad role players is you're playing, let's say, a paladin, someone who is noble of heart and always chivalrous. And you decide, well, I'm going to hit this old lady over the head and take her giant sack of gold. Well, that's out of character. That's not good role-playing.
Right.
So an aspect of role-playing is you want to have a character that you're making decisions for, that you're going to make accurate decisions that character would make.
Yeah, so you're portraying, it's just the same thing as acting. You're portraying the character truthfully and accurately, to truthfulness.
Right. Well, I think we need a break for another station identification here.
Okay.
Do your ears burn when you light them on fire? Well, don't. This is a public announcement by Geek Tank.
And we're back. So we have every podcast, we had that movie quote last podcast.
Yeah, we did a movie quote last podcast, and people were supposed to write in their guess and And the number of guesses that came in was just mind-blowing.
It was really mind-blowing. We'll replay the quote right now.
Let me know if you see a Radio Shack.
That was amazing. I like that. And you did a really good job of quoting that. So tell us which movie that was from.
That comes from a movie called Kung Pao, which is a half old kung fu film that was then mixed in with current footage and then dubbed over by Steve Odenkirk. And it's quite the weird film.
That's not the one that where we get Wii U, Wii U, Wii U.
Yep.
Yes, it is. That's where we get Wii U.
That's totally from where that is.
Yeah. So our winner from last week was Joe Mama, who wrote the correct answer in. Quicker than anybody else. Mm-hmm. He was the first one to answer that.
So this week, instead of a movie quote, going to go with trivia.
Trivia.
So, and it's in fit with our role-playing game topic. So write into us your answer, and here's the question.
So,
what 1982 film starred Tom Hanks and heavily involved role-playing games?
There you go. That's your trivia question.
That's trivia question.
One more time.
What 1982 film starred Tom Hanks that heavily involved role-playing games? So send your answer to
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. That's questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
One more time.
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
And if you're the winner or the first one in, we will announce your name over in the next podcast.
And someday we may actually give prizes and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? I got a basement full of stuff I need to get rid of.
I actually think that our last week's winner should get a prize, certainly, because, you know, mm-hmm. last week's winner was Joe Mama.
I'll record an answering voicemail service for them.
There you go. Something for your voicemail.
Yeah.
And it'll be wrong. So
we've talked about pros and cons, favorite systems, what is an RPG. So what's some of your favorite personal experiences or stories that have come about from a role-playing game you've been involved in?
Well, I think there's a lot of them that I think are really great. But let's see here. So I think personally for me, I like the characters that I created. And there's a lot of things like that where it's a different kind of individual and interesting characters that were created for these games. So some of them actually end up being your characters. I personally like the character that I'm playing right now in your current steampunk campaign, who's the Native American Indian, because she's a Native American Indian gunslinger.
Yes, raised and trained by a
grizzled old Texan Texas Ranger. And
rich character backstory.
Yeah, very rich. That's one of the things I like to build, is a lot of rich character backstory. But more importantly, Kevin, our engineer, has often joined us in these games, and his character was a gambler. And we were talking to somebody, and
it was a local law enforcement
who was treating, of course, my character, because this is the 1800s, and she's female
and an Indian. Native American.
So she had two strikes against her, and we rolled the dice, and of course this guy decided he was going to be misogynistically
anti-racist.
So he was like giving her all kinds of grief from the storyteller.
Yeah, we don't allow your kind here.
Yeah, type. Stuff like that. And Kevin, in his wonderful way, was trying to talk about the train that we came in.
He's trying to give you an excuse to exit before you shoot the guy in the face.
Because I was thinking about that. And so he said, hey, I think there's something wrong with the engine. And my character said, there's definitely something wrong with the engine. And that's still one of those.
His character was referring to the train that the team had.
Right. And my character was using the derogatory slang term.
Right. It would have been a great...
She had been really... Great little cartoon. Pretty ticked off. So that was one of my favorite stories. What's one of your favorites? I mean, I may have stolen your favorite story, because that's actually one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
That's a good story.
Actually, I guess it's more of a setup more than a story. I ran a game where I wanted everybody to make themselves. And I called it the play-as-yourself game, pay game.
Right.
And after a few sessions and one of the characters died, another character called it the payday game, play-as-yourself, die-as-yourself game. And the setup was really interesting because everybody made themselves as accurately as possible using the GURPS system. And so there's a huge diversity between points levels because some characters are more skilled by the system than others. You know, ex-military has more gun skills than others.
Sure.
And so it was an interesting psychological experiment to see people's own views of themselves as they made their characters.
Yeah, it really was. Actually, I was in that game. And
yes.
Trying to make me as a character was both interesting and sad.
But
I don't have any skills.
The setup of the game was they all end up in an alternate fantasy universe and end up with this raw magic power that they have to craft and learn how to craft. So it was interesting to see the great power comes great responsibility thing play out and how people chose to craft those powers to fit their personal needs.
Right, right.
So it's not any one particular scene or story from it. It's just the whole setup was an interesting experiment to watch play out. And the party ended up splitting.
Yeah,
because
we did.
Drastically different ideas of how they were going to
use that power.
Use that power and affect the world that they found themselves in.
That was a great game. It was really interesting. It was also interesting because we had both personal dynamics and then character dynamics that were both playing. Because, I mean, not only did we have players who were rubbing against other players wrong, mm-hmm. but we had characters who were also rubbing against characters wrong, which is interesting because, like an actor, you have to play your character true.
Mm-hmm.
And if your character decides, or if your character's story says that he or she is, you know, against certain people or doesn't like certain people, you have to play it out. And we had played out some interesting dynamics that extended out from our personalities,
yeah.
which I thought was fascinating. Turned out to be an interesting game.
And that game didn't end, but it came to a stopping point when they had discovered a way back to their own time. And so the question became, well, if we do go back, do we retain our powers? And most of the players were concerned about going back and losing their powers.
Yep.
And not having a chance to come back again because they didn't know if it was a one-way trip or not. And so it kind of left on that cliffhanger of who was going to go back and who wasn't and
right.
what was going to happen at that point.
Yeah, it is. That's just, I like that game a lot. Yeah. I actually mostly like all of the games that you do. I liked your character in my Star Trek game.
Well, my character wasn't original.
I liked the way you played him.
It was straight up Barney Stinson, which is played by Neil Patrick Harris from the TV show How I Met Your Mother. And I was like, well, what if Barney Stinson was a Federation liaison with other races?
In Starfleet.
And
we had Barney Stinson in Starfleet. And, of course, all of the characters ended up being female, which made it much more interesting than it needed to be.
Yes, and especially because I really didn't want to play the character towards other player characters the way that he would be.
Yeah.
And so I had to come up with reasons not to, and it was definitely a PG-13 plus type game.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's kind of interesting. You don't always have to play people like you. I never play male characters. I always play female characters. And that's just the way it goes.
Yep,
so
just the way it goes. And I would say one of the most interesting experiences, I was in a really long-running game, I'd say it was somewhere between 6 and 7 years, Earth Dawn, ran by Dan Peek. Excellent role-playing game storyteller, he really knows his stuff, really tells a story great. And the character I played in that was the first time I had ever played a pacifist. I almost always played combat characters.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until that time that I really got into the role-playing of the mindset of, my character doesn't care about gold, doesn't care about killing people, and in fact, always wanted to find a way around a situation that did not involve having to kill. Anytime I ever found profit or fortune, I would use some of it to benefit the party, and then I'd give the rest to charity.
There you go.
And is a really interesting character to play.
Wow. That's been our podcast for...
So write us other questions and tell us about your role-playing experiences.
Right. Tell us what you've got, and we'll read it on air and talk about it, and then probably go, well, that sounded cooler than ours. Also, you can check us out on Facebook at Rocky Mountain Geek Tank, which is, you know, Facebook.com/Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
You can also find us at Twitter at RM Geek Tank.
Yep. And, of course, you can always email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. I'd like to thank Starbucks for hosting us tonight because this is kind of fun.
Loading us down with caffeine.
We'd also like to thank our engineers, Kevin Weibler and Maya Summer.
He's been working very hard.
He's been really working hard on his PSP over there. And then we also want to give special thanks to Bill Gates for providing us with the capability of having computers.
And I'd also like to give a special thanks to Gates in general for helping keeping out wolves and zombies.
That's important. That's in and Bills because, well, no, I don't want to special
they get
thank
right
Bills.
Through, they get right through there.
Bills get right through Gates. Well, that's been our show. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this has been Geek Tank.
Good night.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Please give appropriate credit, provide a link to us, and indicate if changes were made. You may do so in any reasonable manner, but not in any way that suggests we endorsed you or your use in any non-commercial purposes. If you like Geek Tank, consider supporting us at patreon.com/foxblade. Thank you.